You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. Sam Norris and Craig Forsyth in the studio to look ahead to four races on Wednesday afternoon. You can hear every race live, of course, on Racing Radio from 12:40pm in the company of Gordon Brown, Gary Capel and Sean Quinn on Wednesday. We're racing on the all-weather at Lingfield, jumping at Market Racing and Newbury, and then we've got an evening card at Kempton Park as well. So plenty to come on William Hill Racing Radio. But joining me on the podcast, as I said at the top of the piece, is Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Sam. And you?
Yes, not too bad at all. You've been in the studio today, Craig. Enjoyable day of racing? Any winners?
We had a few early on. We had the first winner at Kempton. They got the ball rolling on. We had a couple at Ayr and Exeter. So, yeah, it wasn't bad. But the main race where we played in the 220, the novice chase didn't go according to plan. I thought Stark Attack was one to take on
right
after what he had achieved and two starts over fences. But they went a real strong early gallop in that race and everything just played into his hands. And, you know, one thing about him is he has jumped well so far. I thought he's the type of horse that could be of interest as well, you know, further down the line in spring handicap chases. So, you know, he's maybe one to look out for Starkey Tech. But I honestly didn't think he was one for today in the conditions are there. But got that one wrong, Sam, unfortunately.
Can't win him all, can you? He's done well, though, to be fair, to get off the mark over fences. And as you say, there's stacks of options in the spring, particularly at the festival, and there's Aintree as well, all those handicap chases there. Do you feel that he's probably going to need another run before he tries to go for one of those viciously competitive handicaps?
I think he's experienced enough,
right,
to be honest. I think the flatter track at Aintree would suit him much better. The Red Rum handicap chase, something along those lines would maybe suit some better than a festival handicap over fences. I mean, he was fine running at Cheltenham over hurdles, but I don't know how well the chase track would suit him there. So I think he certainly seemed to relish a good strong place on a flat track today at Ayr.
Yeah, certainly one to take out of Tuesday's action. We'll have a little look forward to the weekend as well, Craig. We're still a few days away from the weekend, but it promises to be a cracking couple of days racing both sides of the Irish Sea. Prices have dropped this morning for both the Clarence House Chase and the Peter Marsh Chase. The Peter Marsh Chase will start with at Haydock. Alari opened up at 9-2 yesterday with us here at William Hill. That was quickly gobbled up, now into 3-1 ahead of Bristol Demai at 9-2. 11-2 definitely red. 10s and bigger the rest. Obviously, Alari at this point is a talking horse in terms of what he's done in the UK. This will be his UK debut. Has run plenty in France. Was a winner of a listed chase over at Auteuil. Firstly, how much do you sort of pay attention to trainers talking their horses up, and crucially, when the market speaks on the back of that?
I don't really.
Right.
I just ignore it. is the best policy, particularly trainers. Market is a different story. Yeah, money does talk. But, you know, he's making his UK debut off a handicap mark of 162, carrying 11 stone 10. You know, right away, you've got horses that creep into the bottom of this race. Oh, good horses rated 140. They're able to race off 10 stone in a handicap. You've got the likes of Salsalita Sunrise and Bristol Demai that are racing off, you know, 11.3 and 11.2. The race is framed beautifully for them type of horses, with a horse carrying 11.10 rated 162. And, you know, what he's achieved in France is a fair level of form, but this is a huge ask on his UK debut. There's been money around for him, not only in the market for the Peter Marsh on Saturday, but also for the Gold Cup, I believe, as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, and if he's to be a Gold Cup contender, he's got to be winning this well, or, you know, on a mark of 162, but I think it's a big, big ask, and certainly he offers no value for me, 3-1. At the prices that we have at the moment, I think Bristol Demai is a, and knocking each way better at 92. You know, 11 stone 2. He's only started Haydock over fences last January. He absolutely bolted up in heavy ground. I think he proved at Newcastle last time that he stays this type of trip, he will get further, I think, in time as well. He's still only a 6-year-old. I think he ticks all the boxes, Bristol Demai, for me. And the fact that, you know, Colin Tizard's horse is likely to run here,
yes,
means that Bristol Demai will be carrying 11-2. And normal renewals, you know, 154 rated horse would be carrying a lot more,
yes,
weight.
Yeah, so correct.
It's also it's really, really well for Bristol Demai. And looking back to previous winners of the race, Cloudy Lane was the last horse to carry 11-10. 2 success in this.
Right, okay. Yeah, as you say, it sets the race up very nicely for some of those other horses who get to carry less weight because of Alari's presence. 20-1 for the Cheltenham Gold Cup. That, again, has come under pressure this week, opened up at 25-1. Means Colin Tizard's 4 of the front 6 in the Gold Cup betting. People would be up in arms if that was Willie Mullins, Craig.
They would, yeah. I mean, obviously, this lad's still got a bit to prove,
yes,
where we know, you know, he's got 3 relatively strong contenders.
Yeah.
Well, 2 in Q-Card and Thistlecrack. But for me, this French, ex-French horse, you know, has it all to do. He has form and heavy ground, so the conditions definitely should suit on Saturday. But big, big ask. 7-year-old carrying 11-10,
yeah,
conceding weight to some very, very good horses in opposition.
Yeah, and as we say, it's all hype at the moment. If it doesn't win the Peter Marsh Chase, then you can pretty much forget about it in the Gold Cup market, you would have thought.
Yes.
Anyway, the Clarence House Chase as well is the big race over at Ascot on Saturday. Underso is the 5-6 market leader for this, won the race last year. Armad is 2-1. Tens for Specialty are Royal Regatta 12-1. Top Gamble 14-1. Dodging Bullets is 20s and it's 33-1 for East Lake. As you informed me before the podcast, Craig, Underso does have an entry in a Grade 3 at Thurles on Thursday, so his participation may be in doubt. Saida Grouchy has come out this morning as we record the podcast. But if Underso and Armad were to line up, there was 3.5 lengths between them in the Tingle Creek. That was Armad's first start for a long while. Looked as though he would benefit from the run. Made an absolute pig's ear of the, I think, was it 4 out in the Tingle Creek. You think he could get a bit closer now that he's had that run under his belt?
Yeah, I do. I think he can reverse the form. I thought it was a real eye-catching run. I mean, the pace that went early there, I was expecting Armad to completely drop out of,
yes,
contention and really drop away. But to his credit, you know, he ran right to the line. And he was only got beat by 3.5 lengths at the finish. He's had 49 days to recover from that. I think there's a lot more to come from him. And as we know about Armad, he loves to go right-handed. Ascot should suit, you know. I think Ascot places more of an emphasis on jumping than Sandown. Still very, very stiff fences at Ascot. I mean, Underso did jump well in the Tingle Creek, but I fancy Armad. He's only a 7-year-old, is Armad. And I fancy him to turn the tables on that Sandown form with a run under his belt now.
And he'll be absolutely assured of a good pace. Even if Underso doesn't go, Specialty Hour is going to want to front run. So if the likes of Specialty Hour and Underso maybe take each other on up front, then it's even more ticks in boxes for Armad.
Yeah, Royal Regatta's only got one way running,
true,
as well, you know, particularly around Ascot. So, you know, one thing we look to be assured, despite the numbers, is a very, very strong pace. And I think tactics could play a part. But, you know, Armad hopefully can sit just in behind that frantic early pace and come home strongly like he did last time at Sandown. But a couple of places further forward.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there. A couple of thoughts then from Craig ahead of the weekend's action. Does promise to be a superb weekend of racing. You'll hear all of that live on Racing Radio. Of course, we'll move on to matters a little bit closer at hand now, which is Wednesday's racing. Got a couple from Newbury, one from Market Racing, and a race on the all-weather at Kempton Park to bring you. We begin with Newbury's 220. This is a Novices Limited Handicap Chase. 2 miles is the trip. Just 6 runners have lined up for this contest. Who's on your mind here? Looks a fairly tight-knit look to the top of the betting anyway.
Yeah, I think we've got to look to the Ascot form from mid-December here, where Red Devil Star just got the better of Champagne at Tara on that occasion. Champagne at Tara travelled all over Red Devil Star, as he usually does in his races. But when Aidan Coleman went to put his head in front and went to try and win the race as late as possible, he still refused to go past. And Red Devil Star on the rail battled back, to his credit. There's only a £1 turnaround in the weights. It could have been a £7 turnaround, £8 turnaround in the weight. I still don't think it would have been enough for John Joe's runner to turn the table simply because of his attitude. He's a horse that, you know, he just finds winning difficult. Barry Geraghty, again, is likely to try and deliver him as late as possible. But he comes up against a horse with a real good attitude in Red Devil Star. And I think because of that, I think he will confirm the form for Ascot. And I think that form is head and shoulders above what anything else in the race has achieved in recent times. So Red Devil Star gets my vote in the Novices Handicap Chase.
Red Devil Star then, the choice for Craig. Has a bit to find on the ratings, but attitude key for Craig in that race, then the 220. We'll move on to the 255 then at Newbury, which is the feature race of the day, the Harwell Trophy. A handicap chase here over just short of 3 miles. 14 runners line up for this. A good competitive feel to this race, Craig, but it might take a bit of sorting.
Yeah, I'm going to give a horse another chance here. He disappointed me last time. I really fancied him to run well at the December meeting here at Newbury, and that was Monbeg Gold. He made a real pleasing debut over fences at Fontwell in a race for Fontwell that has worked out extremely well. The winner, More Boxes, went on to win a couple of races. The third and fourth also went on to win races. And Monbeg Gold, you know, jumped really, really well on that occasion. But in a 12-runner Novices Handicap Chase at Newbury, you know, the writing was on the wall at a very early stage in that race. He never really got into a rhythm. He hit the first, and he never really recovered from that. He was never travelling with the same zest like he travelled at Fontwell. But he still remains a reasonably well-handicapped horse over fences. And if we can just excuse that one moderate effort from Newbury last time, then I think he's got to be worth another chance with a fit in the first-time blinkers. I think he's certainly not one to give up on the back of it, of one poor effort. Potter's Corner could prove to be the biggest danger. I thought he ran really well last time in a race that's working out well at Ascot. And 60 days on, you know, I think he's another one to look closely at in this event. And I see him as the biggest danger to Monbeg Gold.
Monbeg Gold the choice then, and Potter's Corner the likely danger in that 255 at Newbury. We'll go over to Market Razor now for a 240 race. This is a graduation chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. 6 runners line up to contest this. An interesting mix of profiles in here, Craig, particularly the mare at the bottom, who somewhat complicates it, unbeaten for Nicky Richards, Hester Fleming.
Tremendous races. You know, Newbury is our feature meeting on Wednesday, but this is the race of the day for me.
Absolutely
cracking race. You know, starting from the top, looking down in race card order, King's Odyssey comes with a real big chance, was travelling extremely well at Cheltenham when last seen. Didn't make a bad mistake on that occasion, just clipped the top, and that was enough to unbalance him. And he didn't get his landing gear out on the other side, and, you know, he didn't suffer too much with that fall. You know, the way he was travelling suggests he would have been involved in the finish for sure there. At Cheltenham, Three Musketeers goes right-handed, and the way he jumped at Newbury last time, that's got to be a positive. He jumped out to his right on that occasion. Blakemont won't be good enough, I don't think, in this class. Neither will Cushing Bridge. Kilcreagh Vale is a lovely, lightly raced type. I was impressed with him on his chasing debut at Ludlow. And Hester Fleming travels down from the Nicky Richards yard, a real lightly raced mare we haven't seen enough of, to be honest. She was fantastic over fences on her only start at Catterick. So it's a strong race. You know, King's Odyssey gets my vote the way he was travelling in that Cheltenham race. But any one of four could win this.
Yeah, looks like a cracking renewal then at Market Raising. King's Odyssey is the choice then for Evan Williams and Paul Maloney. We'll go over to Kempton Park then for the final race on today's podcast for some action on the Poly Track there. 6:20 is a filly's handicap over a mile. The dead 8 runners go to post at the time of recording. A couple of last time out winners in here, Craig. And the majority of the field arrive in reasonable form.
Yeah, Absolute Blast is the standout performer on what she achieved last time at Wolverhampton. Didn't get the clearest of passages, had to wait. Did PJ McDonald on getting a clear run, and absolutely tanked through the race and won fairly comfortable in the end. And the speed he's shown suggests the step back to a mile certainly won't be a problem. The 12-pound rise, maybe, but, you know, the way she won on that occasion suggests that she may be well up to following up here. The one thing to look at here is there doesn't look to be a great deal of pace on in this race. Stosat is the only front runner down at the bottom of the weight here. So, you know, one thing you wouldn't want to see is this mare getting her own way out in front of a mark of 79. She could be dangerous, but, you know, providing the go at a decent pace, I think Absolute Blast certainly the one to be with. Because looking at the rest, you know, there's a few of these met last time at Lingfield. Bint Dandy, Rebel Surge, and Russian Radiance. Russian Radiance coming out on top on that occasion. But and what could be a slowly run affair, I wouldn't be surprised if Bint Dandy turned around that form, but I still don't think she'll be good enough to win here. So Absolute Blast to follow up her success from Wolverhampton.
The top weight then, Absolute Blast for Ian Jardine, and PJ McDonald gets the nod in that 6:20 race at Kempton. Just give us a quick spin through, please, then, Craig, if you wouldn't mind, your four selections for the racing on Wednesday.
Yeah, going back to Newbury for the 2:20 Red Devil Star. In the 2:55 at Newbury, Monbeg Gold in first-time blinkers. King's Odyssey to win the graduation chase. The race of the day, 2:40 at Market Raisin. And finally, in the 6:20 at Kempton, we're going with a top-weight Absolute Blast.
There we are then, thoughts of Craig Forsyth ahead of Wednesday's racing. And do be sure to join us on Racing Radio from 12:40 p.m. where Gordon Brown, Gary Capewell and Sean Quinn will be guiding you through the action at Newbury, Market Raisin and Lingfield in the afternoon, Kempton Park in the evening. That's all to come on Racing Radio from 12:40. Craig, pleasure as always, and we'll speak again soon.
Thank you, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.